Welcome back to the George Show. I am here still in Beirut, Lebanon at the Lady of Our Well Convent. It's 2 in the morning and it's very quiet and peaceful here. Bill, how are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. I was trying to assemble stuff into a logical order and it gets tough. There's just so many different things happening virtually every day. It gets tough to put them in some sort of order so people can understand them.
That is so true, and I think that's what we're doing. And you're very good at that in Georgia, across and nationally, internationally, actually. And so Bill's going to walk us through some of those pattern recognitions he's found across the country. I want to welcome you to the show. Please support our no ad subscriptions. Please support our social media, and please just tell people about the show. We're growing in many, many ways, and we're growing in our credibility and way we report our different stories. And so we need your financial support along with growing our socials. So please help us do that. I'm going to talk a little bit today about pattern recognition. I'm here in Beirut, Lebanon, and I spent a lot of time in Ukraine, and we reported here on the show with Robert Amsterdam out of London, the attacks on the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. Then we did the same thing in Armenia because we saw patterns there. We see the same thing in Romania, which now, Bill, I don't know if you saw on just announced that they now want to move. Europe wants to move F-35s to the new airbase in Romania for NATO. I mean, that's just teeing up the next conflict. That's why, in my mind, we need to stop all of this security guarantee stuff for Ukraine. If the Europeans want to do it, fine, but the Americans should not. And I'm worried they're just teeing up the next conflict. Moving assets into theater. They stole the elections in Romania 3 times, and good stuff is not happening there. So we're going to stay on that story. But that being said, we also here in the Middle East see pattern recognition, specifically in Syria with the intentional destruction of that country and the Christian community. I met with Syrian people today, and they are telling me how their entire communities were wiped out, killed, or fled, and that they were very safe under Bashar Assad. They could build their churches. They were left alone. They could get married. They could have a family. They could practice their religion. They could build businesses. And they were just left alone. And they also said that the Russians came in and provided lots of money and assistance to them on the ground. And they just, nothing is heard about this in the media. But next door to Syria is Lebanon. And the patterns there are the same, Bill. You're seeing intentional weakening of the country, bringing in millions of migrants, Shia Muslims out of Syria, Palestinians up from the north to weaken the only Christian state in the Middle East. So you've got a situation where whenever there's a powerful Christian state that rises, there is a globalist force that attacks it. And that's been going on for some time. And if you look at the patterns, and I was talking to a gentleman, Rob Manis, I was on his show today, and I said, Rob, if you wanted to destroy the biggest two Christian nations in Europe, what would you do? You'd start a war between them. And look at the Ukrainian war. Today it came out 1.7 million Ukrainians have died in that war. Mm-hmm. And here we had our NATO leaders last week saying, oh, it's, you know, maybe a couple hundred thousand. And they have been completely lying to everybody. The American people needs to know that. And it's a satanic, in my mind, human sacrifice orgy that's been going on, and they've been lying to us. So anybody who's involved in that is working for the wrong team, my man. So I've got a video to show, Bill, but I'll throw it to you. Do you have any comments on all this?
Well, it's very interesting because we have seen some very odd comments from Putin even in recent months. He has talked about things that have to do with Satanism. You may recall that several months ago, the Russian Supreme Court actually outlawed international Satanist movement. What a strange thing for them to do. But does this suggest that they've been, or they acknowledge seeing some of these same dynamics? You know, it would seem plausible. There's also clearly things that are, they're trying to stand in our way. You reported yesterday that you had issues with X getting certain things done. And so it becomes, you know, what is it that's causing all these issues? And why is it happening while you and we are bringing forward these concerns. Is it happenstance? You know, I've gotten to believe in the last couple of years that coincidences are unlikely to, often not possible. So
yes, I and I've also had this sense while I'm here, Bill, that we're here for a reason. The team is on the ground here. The work we're doing in Georgia is for a reason. And, you know, I was brought up to this convent because an American journalist was kidnapped by Hezbollah a few days ago. And the guys I'm working with said, we got to get you somewhere where they are not going to go. And so they put me smack dab in the middle of a few hundred nuns. So you know, it's the places you go, you know, to borrow a phrase from Dr. Seuss. But we talked about, you talked about the X situation yesterday. X banned our advertising. And we have been doing and becoming very, it takes a while for the AI to learn how to use your ad and get the best effect, mm-hmm. and the lowest cost to get to drive someone to the website. So we were being very effective in the US and in India, were the two countries we targeted. We were getting a big growth in Indian listeners and viewers, and boom, we get shut down while we're doing this Christian persecution coverage in multiple countries. I find that not surprising, but I guess par for the course. You know, I thought we maybe were moved past some of this, but I guess we're not. But there's always a karma side to this, because guess what? The entire Christian community in the Middle East saw this, and they see that we're helping them. These people are fighting for their literal survival. So they are the survival of their families, their churches, their communities, their way of life. I spoke to a woman yesterday who is from a village in Syria, the last village that speaks Aramaic, which was the language of Christ. Mm-hmm. And she recited to me the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. So I'm going to play that for us later. But this is, it's just in the way these chips are laying on the table, Bill, is just fascinating.
It's fascinating, but it's also troubling that we're facing this. But so be it, you know?
Yeah,
the fight,
exactly.
Bring the fight's on. The fight's on. So
I've got about a two-minute video I'm going to play. First is the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, and then I'm going to so just some imagery of where I am now. We'll do some more video. These are stills, but I think you'll enjoy this. So here we go.
Great.
بسم الأب والإبرة وروح الكدشة إلوها أحد آمين أب وحتي بشمو يتكتش إشمخ يثالي ملكخ يب تتبع عائلة أخمر بشمو خدت على رعا أبلاح لحمة أخو اليوم واغفر لاح أختي يوثح أخمل ما أنا حنغفرا شي مخت عم مينح لا تعبر الناحة بتغرب يوثا بس حست الناحة مشيدة آمين
Okay, Bill, back to you.
Wow, those were very pretty. Yes, amazing. Yes. Now, did you say that was the last village that speaks Aramaic?
The first audio tape, yes, not the convent, yeah. But yes, yeah. That was the last. They are destroying Christianity, literally wiping it off the face of the earth in the Middle East. So wow. It's a in this important work that we're doing, and they're so appreciative because there's been no help from the State Department, no help from the Trump administration. Nobody's picking up their cross, if you will, to help let these people survive and take care of their issues. And they tell me everyone's all concerned about other countries, but not us. So that's why we're here.
Well,
so I'm going to flip it to you.
Hopefully that message will be heard loud and clear by the administration, and hopefully they will find a way to take action, or perhaps prevent others from taking bad action.
Exactly.
All right, let's delve into the world of Trump. The tone for tonight is Trump does appear to be largely in control of many things. We started the week with this announcement. Go ahead and read that, Todd. I'm kidding.
I got to run again.
The net of this, and I'm not going to have our listeners and viewers read this either, but the net of it was that Trump announced 7/17 on Monday morning that he was going to start a movement to get rid of mail-in ballots and the bad accuracy voting machines. And he infers in here, and I think states essentially, that he's going to issue an executive order that will cause this. So we at the Georgia Record posted this. It's in an article that folks can more easily read. And you'll find it if you go to georgiarecord.com and look for Trump declares movement to get rid of mail-in ballots. You'll be able to go in there, see the post, hear our comments about it, but also see that we had this chance to make moves in this direction here in Georgia last year. Brian Kemp sat in on a meeting with other governors. Trump spoke at that meeting and literally said his vision for elections going forward included hand-marked, hand-counted paper ballots, single day voting, voter ID, positive voter ID, and citizenship confirmation prior to being able to vote. What did Georgia do with any of that? And the answer is nothing. Kemp was on the front row. I think he was chairman of the group, and yet did nothing here in Georgia to move in any of those directions. And so now the end of this article, or the end of the title of this article, is let's see Georgia officials try to ignore this one, because I believe we have an executive order that will really put some teeth in this movement, if you will. And it is high time for Georgia to make these changes. You'll see other people beginning to line up to say it is time to take decisive action. So along in that vein, Trump held his meeting with many of the European leaders and others this week to set the tone and talk about bringing peace finally to Ukraine and Russia, and really wrap the whole area into a commitment for peace. Here's one of the pictures of folks sitting in the Oval Office. It is notable, there were a number of articles that said, gosh, you know, he's really changed the Oval Office. You can see it well in this picture. He's taken virtually all the wall space and has put up pictures of other presidents, and mainly presidents. I think there's a couple others that perhaps weren't presidents, but he's covered the office with that, and there's gold everywhere. You can see it in the fireplace. You can see it on the walls. There's special gold hangings on the walls and other things. Really is an amazing time. And so you see them lined up in front of his desk here. A number of his special confidants were in the room. You can see here a discussion going on with Zelensky and the gentleman's name escapes me at the moment, but he's one of Trump's confidants that's been traveling back and forth for some of these talks and is a trusted advisor, along with Marco Rubio. And then here's a bigger picture of the room, and you can see Dan Scavino in the back. You can see other people standing back there. And, you get a varying sense from the people sitting there, but many people have looked at this and said, boy, these people were definitely, you know, they know that they're being talked to about what's going to happen and that they need to be a positive part of it. And again, there's the overall pictures. That's a broader picture of the Oval Office. And what's notable too is many people came and said, gosh, it's nice to see meetings in the Oval Office that are being, you know, shown publicly. So many people have noted that during Biden's administration, most of his quote unquote in-office meetings were actually held in that fake blue background Oval Office that has nothing to do with the real Oval Office.
Yeah, and who knows where that was?
Yeah, well, it's somewhere in town. People have been there. Alina Haba did a podcast from there and said, I don't even know why we would have used this. It doesn't make any sense. So for whatever reason, he was not in the Oval Office, the real Oval Office, when he was doing those broadcasts. And then here's a picture. This is kind of a chucklish one. Here's Trump with Zelensky and Scavino's in the background taking a video or a photograph of them getting photographed in the entryway to the White House. So very interesting set of meetings. Bear with me for just a second. Let me see where to go next with this. So there have been concerns now that people, and you've kind of talked about it briefly, but there does seem to be this pushback, both in the sense of folks in D.C., some, very few actually, but some saying, you know, gosh, there's no reason for this. This is overreach. This is overstepping to bring in the National Guard and do these things. Yet there's a number of interviews with people saying, gosh, this is the first time I've been able to walk down the street and feel safe for a long time. You're going to hear this from Steve Miller as well. And I wanted to give a sense of what the media is doing. Now, this is a little dated. This is a couple months ago, but the media still is using their voice to try to undercut what Trump is doing. And they did it in this case with one of his meetings with the African, one of the African leaders. But watch what they say and notice that these, again, are competing television stations, yet they still continue even today to try to undercut Trump.
Today, the tense confrontation, President Trump ambushing the president of South Africa.
Next, another Oval Office meltdown, President Trump ambushing the president of South Africa.
President Trump is being accused of conducting something of a diplomatic ambush of South Africa's president in the Oval Office.
To be with you, I'm Katie Turr. President Trump orchestrated another Oval Office ambush today.
Today, Donald Trump meeting with the president of South Africa and attempting to ambush and humiliate that leader.
Zelensky territory, where essentially he was a bit ambushed inside the Oval Office.
Felt like an ambush in there, kind of like the President Zelensky meeting in the Oval Office.
This was an ambush. It was orchestrated.
Cyril Ramaphosa brought his best diplomatic self to this meeting, but nothing could have prepared him for this multimedia ambush.
So to your point, pattern recognition. Folks have to recognize that when you see that competing radio station saying the same exact thing, they have worked together. Somebody's been controlling them or is incenting them to say these things. That's not what happened. And what has happened is that Trump has created peace in, I believe he named in a tweet last 24, 48 hours, six different conflicts, six different wars, if you will, around the world since coming to the White House. Let's hear, this is one that I was talked about today. There was a post today by this group, and I wasn't even aware there was a conflict going on, but they are thanking Trump for bringing it to an end. Let's take a look at this.
Mr. President Trump, we are standing here today with hearts full of appreciation for your instrumental role in bringing about the recent ceasefire between Cambodia and Thailand. The border conflict, which had escalated recently, caused immense sufferings and instability for the people of both nations. your diplomatic engagement and visionary intervention were critical in de-escalating tension and facilitating a truce.
How in the heck is all this stuff coming together? Don't know, but I'll simply say thank you. You know, how many more of these are we going to hear about? It's amazing.
Well, I'm hoping, and did you, well, I'm hoping that Ukraine is the next one, but did you see the announcement that Trump is setting up? He said the biggest something at the White House ever. Did you see that? Do you know what it is?
I'm not sure what event he might be talking about. I remember that that there's several things. There's actually a wrestling event that's planned around the White House at some point.
Maybe
year.
MMA. Maybe it's MMA.
There's that, but there's also other things that are more serious. But it is interesting. He's doing everything in a big way. You know, he planted these two brand new flags, one in front, one in back. They're the biggest flags that have ever flown around the White House. You can see them from across town. There just are amazing things going on. Let's also hear from Mr. Miller as he's I think he ended up at Union Station. I know J.D. Vance did, but he's talking to the National Guard and addressing the need for them to be involved. Let's take a look at this.
Thank you. And first of all, thank you to the Vice President for bringing us here today. Thank you, Secretary, for your leadership. And most importantly, thank you to the men and women of the National Guard. Here's the most important point. There are residents who lived in Washington, D.C. their entire lives. Their parents lived here. Their grandparents lived here. And they have lived for generations in intolerable conditions of crime and decay. There are parts of the city, I moved to the city 20 years ago. There are places where I've seen graffiti that has been untouched for two decades. There are homeless encampments that have made it impossible for families to use public parks and public recreation for as long as I've lived here. There are hundreds of residents of this city who are shot in street violence every single year, making it one of the most violent cities on planet Earth. And for too long, 99% of this city has been terrorized by 1% of the city. And the voices that you hear out there, those crazy communists, they have no roots. They have no connections to the city. They have no families they are raising in this city. They have no one that they are sending to school in this city. They have no jobs in this city. They have no connections to this community at all. But they're the ones who've been advocating for the 1%, the criminals, the killers, the rapists, the drug dealers. And I'm glad they're here today. Because me, Pete, and the Vice President are all going to leave here, and inspired by them, we're going to add thousands more resources to this city to get the criminals and the gang members out of here. We're going to dismantle those networks, and we're going to prove that a city can serve for the law-abiding citizens who live there.
So, you know, these are straight words, and in another setting, this might sound, I don't know, perhaps a little unsettling. But at the end of the day, I think one of the things we're seeing is when you need to deal with some of these issues, they need to be dealt with and they need to be dealt with directly. And we've talked about this kind of gently for the last few weeks. But I do suspect that we are sensing that we're coming to a time where we're going to have to face some harsh truths. Those truths in Washington are being faced, and it's being dealt with better police protection and perhaps some help from the National Guard. But what about the rest of the stuff that's being uncovered with elections, with people having lied directly, people in power, people in, I'll call it, direct high-level authority, Comey, Brennan, others that have lied in order to try to take Trump out of power and work against the American people. What's going to come of this? Well, we get a hint, I think, from a post that Dan Scavino again did. And Dan, in my mind, is one of Trump's closest confidants. Regardless of title, regardless of whatnot, he's known Trump for, I want to say, going on 35, 40 years. And I believe is very trusted. And he posts things that I think are, I'll call them messages to the rest of us. And here's one that was posted. I think it went out on Instagram. And it relates to Schumer. Let's take a look at this.
Take on the intelligence community. They have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
Now, recall that what he's speaking of is when, you know, 51 people claimed that, I think it was the Biden laptop is nothing. And then they claimed certain other things. And it turns out all 51 were lying. This is Schumer saying, hey, you don't mess with the intelligence community. They can always get back at you. Well, hang on. This has got a little bit of a delay in it, but let's see what Dan shares next.
Because I was the hunted, and now I'm the hunter. It's a big difference.
So if we read this, I am going to read this for the audience because it's important that you understand. This is Dan Scavino Jr. posting this. They, Dems, thought Trump and those close to him would be in prison by now. That was then, and that was their end game after a long 9-year journey. But he's back. And the cover-up is unraveling before our very eyes. Buckle up. Sleep tight, y'all. You know who you are. TikTok. I mean, I'm not sure how much more directly you can say it.
Yeah, that's pretty direct.
Now, recall that just after the election, Dan Scavino, I believe sometime in December or November, posted a single line X post, accountability, in all caps, accountability is coming. So if this and that post are giving us hints, I believe that accountability is coming. We just have to know that what needs to be done, whatever that is. And to your point, I think what you said last week was, you know, as long as it is by the letter of the law, then that is what the American people should want and should very frankly expect. So,
yeah. Now, I think you're right. Now, you also have to realize that he's shutting off the money flow because he shut off USAID. That was a big one. He's shut down the smurfing, or at least threatened to.
Yeah.
And now he's shutting off the war flow. So those are massive streams of funds.
That's right. And
for decades.
And he's looking into the Fed. He's putting pressure on the Fed. And he's putting the pressure on perhaps those in Washington who have been participating in making sure stuff gets hidden. I heard Ana Paulina Luna the other day talk about finding a bag with certain information in it. I think she said it was a CD that had been sitting in a room for more than 2 years because it was in a skiff and you're not supposed to remove it. Certain people aren't supposed to remove it from a skiff. Well, nobody had the key to the bag. She says, fine, hand me a pair of scissors, cuts the bag open, finds this CD and finds, again, apparently documents that should not have been hidden in that manner, hidden in the corner of a skiff someplace. These are the kinds of things that I think we're going to hear about, and this is what we have to be prepared for. They've been playing this game, and he says right here, 9 years, right?
Yeah, much longer, but yeah, you're right.
And to your point, much longer, but as it relates to Trump, 9 years. And then remember, he says, I was the hunted, now I'm the hunter. Well, isn't that interesting that this post on the right came from the White House in the last month, and the post on the left came out, I believe, in 2018 with a group of patriots that were trying to have a sense of what might be happening as we were going through some very strange times. So, again, it is fascinating to watch, and I think we need to expect and be prepared to accept that certain things have to be dealt with in an appropriate way. Okay. Did you want to take a break for just a moment and we'll come back?
Yeah, let's pay some bills.
Okay.
While we're here. Sorry, it's 2 a.m. for me. All right, so here we go. We'll be right back after this break.
To celebrate our newest launch, Rev7, I'm bringing you an amazing introductory offer, plus an exclusive overstock sale that you're not going to want to miss. Rev 7 is our premium energy drink that tastes great and gives you energy all day with no jitters and no crashes. That's because there's no sugar and no caffeine. I'm so sure you're going to love Rev 7 that for a limited time you can try our 3-pack absolutely free. Or check out our Percale bed sheets. I can't believe I'm even going to say this. Every color, every style, every size, only $29.88. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save 20% on our Rev 7 12-packs or try our introductory 3-pack absolutely free. And our Percale bed sheets, all sizes, only $29.88, even the queens and kings. Inventory is extremely limited, so order now.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
So Christmas is coming. It'll be here before you know it. And if you got somebody, especially a guy who is hard to buy for, maybe has everything, getting a pair of Mike's slippers. And I guarantee you next Christmas, he'll be begging you to get some more because those will be worn out. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code CDM. Check out what he has on the site. He's got 600 products. But start shopping. And don't shop from Bed Bath & Beyond. Shop from Mike and support free media. Back
is
to
Bed,
you.
Is Bed Bath & Beyond still open?
They're coming back.
Reopening. Interesting.
You know, maybe under new management. But don't go to Walmart. Don't buy the Chinese crap. Buy some good stuff made in the U.S.
There you go. All right, we're staying on Trump. This doesn't seem like a Trump thing, but it is. You'll see. So one of the things that people don't realize is as wind turbines are built, they're incredibly expensive. They're difficult to build. The parts are non-recyclable, which is ironic. It's not a sustainable device. And so what happens is you have to take them apart as they break or as they must be replaced, the blades. They end up in like these big graveyards, if you will, for wind turbine blades. And what people have begun to spot is, wait a minute, how could this be? And then what the heck are we going to do with this now? And what is the payback on a wind turbine? Well, lo and behold, this came out, you can see, on August 17th. And then just today, Trump comes out with any state that has built or relied on windmills or solar power are seeing record-breaking increases in electricity and energy costs, the scam of the century. We will not approve wind or farmer destroying solar, meaning solar has a tendency to destroy farms and winds and other things. They can damage birds and land and all kinds of stuff. So the days of stupidity are over in the USA. So isn't it funny that just in the last 24 hours, we're seeing reality about what's going on with these windmills, and Trump comes out and says, we're not going to allow these anymore. They don't work. They're damaging. They're using up land. They're using up farmland, and we need to do better. So that was fascinating.
Yeah.
One thing I skipped over that I want to go back to for just a second here. There we go, right there. So one of the things that that folks are seeing is they expect that there is going to be continued pushback. Now, this will ring true, I think, to you and I because we're starting to actually see it. There will be people continuing to push back against Trump, even some that we would have thought were part of our movement, if you will, that, you know, we're friends of Trump, friends of America First, friends of MAGA. And yet there is an expectation that some of these people will be pushing back and working against that. A good example that comes to mind is Senator Thune, who has organized the legislature during their recess to convene every few days to prevent Trump from being able to make recess appointments. They are working against him. So I find this oddly prophetic, and I think we need to consider this here in Georgia as well. We need to be on guard for folks that are real MAGA, real Make America Great Again, and real America First, and those who pretend to be and then are really not. And I think we'll talk about some of those at the very end. So one of the things that we saw fascinating this week, and a good friend of the show on many occasions, David Clements, Professor David Clements, he's relaunched the Professor's Record. So this is going to be available on X, through Substack, and also now on YouTube, which is fascinating. And here's a particularly important quote from this. Mr. President, look to Lincoln and act. Arrests, tribunals, and war powers. What does that all mean? Well, we won't know until we know, but we can play just a couple minutes of the beginning of the latest Professor's Record that he's published and get a sense of this.
Recently, I stood in Las Vegas and spoke. Heroes were there. Rudy Giuliani, Captain Chris Cuney, Laura Logan, others. They told of the government's oppressive fist on their lives. Giuliani, hit with a $148 million verdict for speaking of rigged elections. A corrupt judge barred his evidence. Truth stayed locked away. Captain Cuney, a Marine, a veteran, carried scars from bombs and shrapnel in his defense of our nation. His door splintered under the biggest SWAT raid of the J6ers. Dozens of FBI marauders invaded his home, bringing his mind back to war-torn regions beset with real terrorists. His wife, pregnant, and his 4-year-old son faced gun barrels, red laser dots on their skin. Cuney was caged by men that swore the same oath he did. His wife lost their unborn child, broken by the government's boots. Their stories haunt me. I'm no stranger to lawfare and death threats, so I feel a certain kinship. But to exorcise the demons holding a place between my ears, I've crossed 49 states in 3 years sounding the warning. People ask what to do with the vestiges of a weaponized government clinging like squatters to a building newly repossessed by a landlord that has been away for 4 years. The landlord is Trump. The building is our temple, America. I say treason and point to the law's punishment. The press twists my words, call me dangerous, and shame anyone that speaks similar words. Words that pinpoint what they have done. To speak the words treason, invasion, or rebellion hits them like a spell, cutting through their black magic insurrection. They hate the light of truth that repels their lie-filled projection. They hate when the scalpel is pointed in their direction, cutting open their rot for the world to see. I say those words must burn on every American's tongue until Giuliani and Cuney see justice. Treason, invasion, rebellion. Say them with me, class.
So, again, he'll be posting regularly new episodes and new installments, if you will, to the Professor's Record. He was doing the Professor's Record previously and had been canceled by most of social media. I've had the honor of meeting Professor Clements on several occasions, and I think it's well worth folks taking a look and learning a little bit about more about what he is seeing as things we need to be willing to face as we go forward. These are serious problems, and we don't know how they're going to play out, but we need to be prepared to face them as a people, as the American people. So here's how to find it. X, go to at the Prof's Record on Substack. You can go to Professor David Clements and find his writings on Substack that are essentially the same content. And then YouTube, the Professor's Record, you'll see his postings there. So again, we highly recommend people take a moment and check it out. If it's not your cup of tea, we understand, but we recognize that he has spent 5 years fighting, has been attacked both in the state and across the country. And we saw him attacked in Fulton County, not physically, but you know, they certainly didn't want to hear what he had to say. And so we wish him well, and we'll be excited to see what comes of the new installments to the Professor's Record.
Yeah, we should bring him on the show soon.
Let's do that. If you recall, we had him on last, I think, during the night of the election, and he was gracious enough to take some time and be with us that evening. So hopefully we'll be able to get him back. All right. Let's now. So that's the national stuff. Let's move to Georgia, if we can. Last night was the launch for Mike Collins' campaign. He held it at a ranch down, in Jackson, Georgia, down south of town. And unfortunately, it was raining. It was a pretty hard rain for many people. And they had a tough time getting down there. But it was a packed crowd, as we'll see here in just a moment. The room was filled to brimming. And we had a couple friends of the show down there. And there were a number of notable folks that were in attendance. Burt Jones showed up to be part of the team launching Mike's campaign. And so you can begin to see the combatants stratify in Georgia's Senate race. We don't have a copy of his speech and may not be able to get that, but here's a quick video just showing the room and how many people attended. Apparently when we downloaded this, we weren't able to grab the sound, but you can see it's a pretty large room and you can see people all the way, wall to wall, all the way to the back.
That's interesting.
It is. Here's an interesting photo. Whoop, let's get it back up there. There we go. If you look at the gentleman in the center holding up a phone, filming the event, do we recognize who that may be? I think that's,
I don't have my glasses.
I think that's BKP, for gosh sakes.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. I understand he attended. We just happened to see this picture on, it actually is up on Mike Collins' website. And so once we downloaded it, we looked at it and, oh boy, I think I recognize that gentleman. So we will be interested to see what comes of this. The response was big. There'll be another launch next week, and that is Burt Jones' campaign launch. Also down, I think it's in Flovilla, in down southern part of Georgia. So we will see what comes of that. Right away, though, you could tell that this is going to be a gloves-off fight for the primary win. And bear with me for a second. I'm going to pull up one more video that I thought we'd show that Collins' team has made to begin getting people accustomed to knowing who Derek Dooley is. Let's take a look at this.
Dooley, what do we know? Gone for decades, just moved back to Georgia. What does he believe? Never supported President Trump. Refused to register as a Republican. One of the worst head coaches in the last century. 12 jobs, 10 locations, a losing record. Is this really Georgia's best play? We need true leaders, not failed coaches.
Now, at the same time, Derek Dooley's campaign is trying hard to portray him as a Trump supporter. The problem with that is, and it looked in that ad like they had listened carefully to our reporting about 3 or 4 weeks ago, where we described the fact that, you know, Dooley hasn't registered to vote. He doesn't appear to have supported anybody, doesn't appear to have even said that he's a Republican or believes in Trump's either MAGA stance or America First. And so they seem to have gone to school on that and included it in their ad. So you're very welcome. We will take our accolades in as you're willing to bring them back. But what is interesting is as they point to these things, other things are beginning to emerge about the two campaigns. Let me bring this back up. And let's go here. So this person, Brendan Dilley, reported that Zach Rode has been hired in some respect, either by Dooley or something to do with his campaign, and has hurtful things to say here. He seems to be more supportive of DeSantis, Kemp, DeWine, and Sununu. But he also talks in a way that would suggest that this guy really is more Democratic leading, this Zach Rode. Well, who is he? Well, we looked him up, and he is a principal at Ascent Media. Now, this company is the type of company that would help with advertising and other media relations, I guess, with regard to campaigns and perhaps political action committees. So we went to look at another one of the committees that whose name has been kicked around. And bear with me. I want to make sure you won't be able to read this off the screen, but I'm going to show you in just a minute. So this is something called Hardworking Georgians, Inc. And we're going to zoom into this. We're going to try to zoom into it in a moment, I guess. Well, let's go first to its Twitter page. So here's its Twitter page. You'll notice that it has... It's following three and has one follower, Hardworking Georgians. But it does appear to have been set up in order to support Dooley. There's also this, Hardworking Americans. Hardworking Americans is a separate company. Looks like a corporation. Its CEO is Mark Middleton, who is a lobbyist here in Georgia. The registered agent is one Vincent Russo. We're going to remember that name because we'll come back to it. And those are basically off the registration on the Georgia Secretary of State website for corporation registrations. If we go one level deeper, it's acknowledged here by Medium Buying that Derek Dooley Group, Hardworking Americans. So the one we just looked at, Hardworking Americans. How do they present themselves? Well, they are inspired by one Brian Kemp. Ooh, okay. And Brian Kemp was the one to, we believe, incent and pull Derek Dooley into this race after apparently falsely agreeing with Trump's team that they were going to work together on a senatorial candidate. So again, Hardworking Americans associated with Kemp, Hardworking Georgians apparently associated with Dooley directly. How do we know that? Well, let's go here. Hardworking Georgians, same registration. Look who the registered agent is, Vincent Russo. And look who the officers are, Daniel Dooley, who is Derek Dooley's brother and a past roommate and long-term friend of Kemp, is the CEO and secretary of Hardworking Georgians. Wow.
You know, Bill, I have an epiphany. I mean, more pattern recognition, I guess. Mm-hmm. This guy's an actor. He's an actor, just like, you know, I'm talking about Dooley.
That's exactly right.
He's just another one.
Aren't they all? Now, the other thing that's interesting, let me see here. Hardworking Americans was set up in 2023. Hardworking Georgians, if I'm reading it correctly, bear with me, is a 2025 corporation. So no, I'll take that back. It was set up a couple of years ago. So if that's true, how long have they been having Hardworking Georgians sitting there in preparation for pulling Dooley into this race? it's a 2025 registration that we see here, but it was originally set up several years ago. So this has been apparently a plan. Yeah. Why? How? You know, did they change the officers, or was this always sitting here just like this with Derek Dooley's brother at the head, ready to support him whenever they chose to make a run for him in a race? Was the Senate race always going to be it? Don't know. Was it going to be something else? What's the timing? Why would he be doing this now? Is it to make it more difficult for someone else to win? Someone more like Mike Collins? Well, we don't know. But it is interesting, and we'll look more deeply at this in the coming days. We just grabbed this literally minutes before broadcast because we were given a heads up that hardworking Georgians and hardworking Americans were both apparently in support of Dooley.
Well, we need to recognize that you're right. They have been planning this stuff for a long time. So you really, as you say, we have to vet these people when they come into office, because they could have been, it's really an intelligence operation they're running, because so it makes you wonder who's behind it. But they, you know, putting spies in place with covers years in advance is a long established tactic. That's what they're doing.
Was it? You mentioned when they come into office, my recommendation would be well before they get into office, well before the primary, we need to know who these people really are.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Now, the other thing, using that as a truism, have they been doing things for several years in preparation for whatever this is? Remember the coalitions, the Republican coalitions that were formed in 23 counties. And that have been, in some cases, quietly growing, quietly trying to gain members. We are in possession of evidence that certain elected officials in Georgia last year were called by members of a congressman's staff trying to see if they would be willing to take charge and grow one or more of those coalitions in some of these counties. A sitting congressman's staff called elected officials in Georgia. Why? Don't know. But all these things that seem to have been sitting around and all of a sudden now are in play, you said it early in the show, pattern recognition. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. It would not be another segment of the Georgia Show unless we did our fair due to First Liberty and Josh McCoon and the Georgia Republican Party. And there we are. So we want to make sure that people understand we didn't start the fire, you know? And if I could play Billy Joel's song, we'd play it.
I was going to say, I hope you have the music ready, but, you know.
Well, we'd probably get a copyright violation from somebody. True. But as more is learned and more is brought out on First Liberty, Building and Loan, and as this investigation begins to mature, it just looks horrendous. And despite that, several members of the Frost family, even those that are acknowledged to have been playing a business role, an executive role in most cases, in First Liberty, Building and Loan, are still in leadership positions in various parts of the Georgia Republican Party because Josh McCoon and others failed and continue to fail to even address it. He took the resignation of Brant Frost V from the state committee, but Brant Frost V is still in charge of the Coweta County GOP. There's talk that there may be a vote to replace him, but does it do any good to replace him with somebody that's still beholden to Josh McCoon and or to the Frost family or both? Probably not. Probably that's just smoke and mirrors to make us think something's happened. But many of the folks across Georgia continue to ask questions. And astoundingly, look what happened. Well, we'll come back to this in just a minute. As Kylie Kremer and others continue to press McCoon for answers as to why, you know, why is Katie Frost still supposedly in this position as chairman of the, you know, finance Finance Oversight Committee within the GOP, especially after the stuff is uncovered with First Liberty Building and Loan? Why would she be in that position and allowed to stay there? Why is she and Krista Frost, her mother, still on the state committee? Why is Krista Frost still chairman of the third district of the GOP in Georgia? And why is Krista Frost still on the executive committee of the Coweta County GOP? It makes no sense. People are saying, why isn't this being dealt with? How can you let people in the middle of this continue to act as pretend to be leaders? And it is a darn good question. And so when those questions have been asked this week, eventually, apparently, Mr. McCoon is blocking people. Why?
We need to get some footage of protests whenever these people have the guts to show their face and plaster them all over our show and let the Trump team hear it.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because what it recalled for me was, if you remember, when people began to get Kemp's number, he stopped being able to speak in public. Why? Because he got booed off every stage. You know, even with his wife there, people would boo him. Even, you know, GOP meetings, bar none. Yeah. And he got sick of it and stopped speaking in public. If you recall, he didn't show up to the Georgia Republican state convention in 23, even though Trump was coming. Why? Probably would have been booed again. Yeah. So, you know, this continues to be, these are signals. These people don't want the answers known. They don't have answers that they're willing to have heard. And so they just block you. Debbie Dooley was doing the same thing. Josh McCoon's doing the same thing. I think earlier today I heard Sally Grubbs is now starting to block people when they ask the wrong question. Hmm. What does that tell you? It tells you they don't have the answer, because the answer is something they don't want you to know. So,
yeah, wow.
This is not going away. This is the quote I heard earlier from Sam Carline on a slightly different tone or subject, but it fits perfectly. This is not going away. This issue with First Liberty, this issue with Josh McCoon, the issue with the Georgia GOP, and the lack of transparency, the lack of accountability, is not going away. So, we will see how this continues to play out. Here is another post by Kylie Kremer. And, you know, we will see how all this continues to play. But the Coweta County GOP is holding a meeting. We highly recommend that they vet any candidates that they expect to go into their leadership executive committee, and make sure that they are dealing with true MAGA or true America First candidates. And if they're not sure, they probably already have their answer. They should be sure. So highly encourage that, and that those steps to be taken. We will see how that plays out. I believe that meeting is due for one of the afternoons this coming week.
Oh, good. Good. That'll be interesting.
So with that, we are almost there. Todd, closing from you.
Well, I just want to say support our sponsors, especially the wellness company, twc.health/CDM. Promo code CDM, you get 10% off all their products. Check out the wellness farms, the beef. You can count on it. No mRNA, no antibiotics. It's just really high quality stuff, grass fed, right to your door. Also, I'm traveling all the time. I bring my emergency medical kits with me. They're in my room, and I've used them many times. So check those out. Make sure your family's prepared. Look at all their products. Spend some time on the website, how they're reimagining healthcare. And also go to cdmnutrition.com and check out the offering for Nucleo Boost. So spend some time with CDM Nutrition. It's a fantastic product. I have the capsules with me on this trip and staying healthy that way. So that's all I've got, Bill. I won't be, the skiff is going to run tomorrow, and then Friday, we'll be doing some different things with different, we've got a lot of interviews scheduled, so it's really hectic, but I can guarantee you, go back and check the shows this week, and then the rest of the week, they'll be very good.
That'll be great. All right. We will see you next on Sunday at 2 p.m. And we appreciate y'all being here. And again, all your support all the way across Georgia. We get a lot of help this week with not just the stories you've seen, but others that are in play. So Thank you, everyone, for that. And we will see you next time.